The decision to go to Texas A&M was the greatest decision I have ever made in my life. Gig 'em. I had a Texas A&M being so close to Dallas. I had been there and I was familiar, but when I started to get recruited by them, you know, start to learn about traditions and what it meant to be an Aggie and the Aggie network, and it was just something that I wanted to be a part of, and you know, went there and it was the greatest decision I made in my life.
One of the greatest days of my life because I didn't have any offers. Kind of the way I came into the NFL is kind of the same way I went into college. And shout out to all the future Jayhawks signing day.
The big signing day, it wasn't like a huge, huge deal at my school, but I think I got like a little table, probably half the size of this. No cloth or anything. I got to sign it, and there might have been five people standing there watching me, but it was cool to be able to do that. I had to sign the official one at my house in the morning, and then the school one was kind of for show. It was great to be able to talk to Coach Alvarez and have that be official back in the day. So that was something I'll never forget for sure.
I do remember my signing day. It was nothing like what it is now. I signed at my high school with a no hat, no unveiling. I had already I had announced that I was going to Tennessee at a couple days earlier. So this was the official, you know, signing, and it wasn't nearly the excitement that it is now. But I remember it being a fun day because I knew it was official that I was signing with the Tennessee Volunteers, and I was looking. I was excited from that point on to get up there in Knoxville and start my college experience.
Signing day, definitely a bigger day now than it used to be in Peyton Manning's day. We heard from Chris Harris and Von Miller in that piece, but there's a lot of different ways to get to the league. You think about Shaquille Barrett and Sylvester Williams. We talked to them today, and they said they took the JUCO route. So even if you didn't get a big signing day ceremony, there are still plenty of ways to get to the NFL.
Well, and I think that I didn't have a signing day, but when I picked my college, it was still a very exciting experience. It's exciting for everybody.
They didn't have you sign on the dotted line?
I didn't get a sign on the dotted line. No, I didn't get that. But it was still an exciting time. Not all of us get to play in the NFL, but special features reporter Sam Boyk here. Even though we don't get to play in the NFL, maybe you can experience a little taste of it here at the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. The NFL experience does exactly that. Yesterday, I was like a kid in a candy store. I spent about 3 hours at the NFL experience and just barely scratched the surface on all that they have to offer there. I'm talking activities, virtual reality, historical facts and figures, you name it, they've got it. And I was able to check that out firsthand.
Listen up, NFL fans. Do you think you have what it takes to keep up with an athlete? Are you an NFL history buff? Well, you can try out your skills and test your knowledge all here at the NFL Experience at Super Bowl 50. We are going to go inside and take a look. Championship rings, and these two look a little familiar to me. And you can even stand up close and personal next to the Vince Lombardi Super Bowl 50 trophy, which we of course are planning to bring home to our fans in Denver. And there's even a Play 60 zone for the kiddos. Hey Miles, what's happening?
So what we're showing today is what's called cinematic virtual reality. It's like 3D 360 video. So as opposed to a video game, it's actually live action, stuff we filmed. So what everybody here is seeing is they feel like they are on the field with the football players, in the locker room, in the production booth, and hanging out with the cheerleaders. Because it's a 360 video, it kind of tricks your brain into thinking that you're there. So it's way different than just watching a video on television or even a movie.
All right, we're at the vertical jump, and I'm here with David. We're going to go head-to-head. We're going to do the vertical jump against each other and see who can get higher. Our wingspan is just about the same here. You got a little bit on me, but you want to go first?
No, ladies first.
Ladies first. Okay, here we go.
David, you're up.
I don't think he needs a second shot. He already blew it out of the water. You guys, this place is like a playground for grown-ups. I could spend all day here and still find something new around every corner. The NFL Experience is open now through Sunday. This is definitely something you do not want to miss.
And as I said, we did not even have a chance to barely even scratch the surface. There was so much we were able to do we couldn't even show. I was able to hold a Peyton Manning game-worn jersey that they'll be auctioning along with a Demaryius Thomas and a Von Miller. That all happens on Friday and Saturday. And along with that, there is a punt, pass, and kick portion of the event. It's like they set up a combine in there with a 40-yard dash as well. Have you guys even participated in any of that, or do you think you would be able to?
What's your 40 time, Phil?
4.0.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got it now.
I mean, back in the day it was.
Okay.
Oh. That 4.0 okay. Speed. Yeah, exactly.
How's
yeah.
your punt, pass, and kick?
Pretty good? Pretty solid, too.
Pretty solid?
Pretty solid.
Well, the
I don't like to brag.
Oh, well, I don't want to have to go on and on.
Thank you. I'll stop.
But with regards to the game day experience, I know the Denver Broncos, they're bringing Thunder. The Bronco cheerleaders are coming tomorrow. They will be here in Santa Clara, and one of the cheerleaders has a very special connection to the Broncos Super Bowl journeys.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of the Denver Broncos cheerleaders will be here in San Francisco. They'll be doing a lot in the community to get the fans excited about the game to come, and they'll also be cheering on the sidelines. And teammate Gia has a unique story, her tale of two Super Bowls, and she told me all about it. Now, Gia, tell us about what an experience it was for you as a fan to go to the Super Bowl.
When I went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, all I could think about was, oh, I just want to be on the field. I want to be a part of it and be on the field and be in the game. And now that I have the opportunity to be on the field, all I can think about is how fantastic our fans are and how much of an impact they truly make to the game. The AFC Championship, I would say the biggest thing in that game, it was our fans. And the energy that they brought to the stadium, it was so electric, and I just can't wait to feel that energy in the Super Bowl as well.
The next year, you actually tried out for the Denver Broncos cheerleading team. Did your experience at the Super Bowl in any way influence your decision to try out?
Are you kidding? That was the deciding factor that I was going to audition for this organization. Sitting there in the stands and watching these women on the field get to dance and do what they love and cheer for our favorite team in the NFL, that was the dream. That was what did it for me.
Is there anything special that you hope to bring to San Francisco as a representative of Broncos country and especially the Denver community?
I think it's a very unique opportunity to be able to showcase how much, you know, women love this sport. We love football. We love this game. We love the Broncos. So it's a very unique opportunity to be able to reach out to all the women out there and, you know, get them on board and really help us win this game.
And I think it's really important to remember that the women who cheer for the Denver Broncos, they are football fans. They love football. They love this team. And, you know, it doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, what a very cool story there for Gia. Thank you very much, Sam. And now we'll take an inside look at some of the numbers with Andrew Mason, who's standing by inside.
Thanks, guys. And our look at the numbers today focuses on giveaways from the opposing offense forced by the Panthers' defense, 2.67 per game. That leads the league by a wide margin. Nobody else has forced more than two takeaways per game. And they do a lot to create that. Let's start first with an interception that they had against the Cardinals. This is right before the first half. The Cardinals trail 24-7. Panthers, they crowd the line of scrimmage. They show blitz. Carson Palmer, he makes the adjustment to showing blitz, but then they drop eight back, they rush three, and Kurt Coleman, he's in position for the pick. He does something here. I'll rewind it just to show you. He's in position. He could have gone to the tight end. Instead, he goes deep. He reads Carson Palmer perfectly. That is a big part of why Kurt Coleman has 8 interceptions in the last 10 games, including 2 in the NFC Championship. He really catches the opposing quarterback off guard, makes him read one way, and then throw exactly to where he wants him to go. Another interception by Kurt Coleman was set up by pressure from up front. Here, they don't show blitz, but then, as you're going to see, they end up rushing 6 men. They bring Kuechly up, they bring him back, Cousins adjust, and then they attack 6 men. So what happens here, you've got some open space. DeSean Jackson is sitting right here because they've rushed 6. All Cousins has to do is find the open man. But the pressure, as you'll see, forces him into a very bad throw. Coleman is Johnny on the spot. He just happens to be there right place, right time. That's an example of how the Panthers will give you chances, but you have to take advantage of them. If Peyton Manning gets rushed, you hope that he can deliver a pass on target and capitalize, because if Cousins had hit DeSean Jackson, that's going to be a big play. And they also forced their share of fumbles as well. Oops, wrong one. Wrong one again. There we go. Third time is the charm. Here, 4-man rush. They supplement it with Kuechly, who kind of rushes, but then he covers the back out of the backfield. You got one-on-one matchups, strip sack, fumble, Panthers ball. That's how they do it. 2.67 takeaways per game forced by Carolina's defense. If the Broncos want to win, they got to make sure they protect the football, as they have the last couple of weeks, guys.
And I think, with regards to Mace's numbers, I think that it's going to be pretty difficult to contain that Panthers defense. They seem to have everything going for them right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers defense turn the ball over really well, and they turn those turnovers into points. So that's the challenge facing Carolina.
All right, we're going to try and get Mace to come on back. Sam, thank you for joining us today. Sam, you're going to be on location, I think, the next couple of days.
Absolutely. Got some good things in store for you guys.
So you get to do all the fun stuff, huh?
Always.
All right.
Always.
We're going to try and get Mace to come on back out here, but when we return, we're going to take a look at Super Bowl 48, how is that influencing the Broncos' preparation this week, plus an inside look at one of the Panthers' best defensive players. Stay with us. We'll be right back.